Hey, what's up? How's it going out there? How are you? How are you doing? How are you doing? Welcome back to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hey, how you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing amazing.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to our little corner of the podcast universe that Carolyn and I have, in which it gives us an opportunity just to sort of share or to have a little peek into our world, I guess. The best we can possibly do it. If you guys noticed that we didn't drop this particular episode, I believe it's 169? Episode 169, I think, that we didn't drop it exactly at midnight, like we usually try to, or 12:03 on the East Coast, in which that's the time in which we usually deliver this show. But there's a big reason for that, Carolyn. And what was that? We're late. We were late for a specific reason. And we're actually recording this show
like almost 3 a.m.
Into the morning time. Why is that reason?
Because we went to Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. We went to Monday Night Raw. And you know what? This might be the only time you ever hear Nickelback on the Carolyn and Joe Show. But I felt it was appropriate.
It was appropriate. Because it is the Monday Night Raw theme song for WWE.
Exactly.
And so, also, in context of, that whole part about, we're going out tonight. You know, it gets me pumped to watch Raw.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that this song was really by Nickelback, though.
It's funny how, a lot of times, whenever we do watch, and it's quite obvious for all you, fans or whatever you want to call yourself.
Loyal listeners.
Whoever who've been listening to us for a long time, it's obvious. We are, in fact, wrestling fans and proud to be professional wrestling fans. And of course, who went to the show? Of course.
We went to the Verizon Center.
Verizon Sierra in Washington, D.C., Raw. All the hits, all the grandeur was there. How'd you feel, Carolyn? How'd you think about it? I think for one thing, before we start this conversation, I guess we're going to review it. Or we're just going to tell our thoughts on the show. We haven't watched the show yet.
Or we watched it in person, but not on TV with the commentating.
Now take this in consideration. I've been to a lot of wrestling shows in my day, a whole lot of them. You know, and I'm old enough, and Danny and Huzzard and James, they were talking about this beforehand, how they went to WrestleMania. So I'm just going to a normal Raw, and it sort of has to.
It's not just a normal Raw.
Oh, but it's a Raw. It's a Raw in our place. But you know, I've been to a few shows, already, and it's they've been fantastic. But I feel like I'm at that point in my career.
Your wrestling watching career.
Yeah, in my fandom, or in my life.
Your audience membership.
And in my life, where I don't really need to go. I felt how it feels. So there really has to be something new to really go to pay the money to see this.
Are you talking about WrestleMania or just a wrestling
Wrestling show in general, because there's those factors of, you want to do this, the people you haven't seen yet, but at the same time, I know how it is. You get the right seat or you get the wrong seat, and it could be a so-so experience. So it was a situation for me where I would have had to hit the gold mine to go and pay the money to go see this show, because I've already not because I don't want to go to see wrestling shows, not that, because I feel like I've been to a lot, and it really has to be at that point where it has to be something special.
So when you were buying the tickets this time around,
yeah, so
you were buying them online.
Yeah, I was first time buying them online. I used to buy tickets from way back in the day when I used to have to go to the mall and fall in line at their Ticketmaster, and you'd be in the line with people until 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. But times have changed, So it's been a while that I've actually went to see a mainstream wrestling show like WWE Raw and see that. And there had to be something. So the situation was like this. It's been a while. Usually when they come into town, I'm like, oh, it's okay, But for some reason during this show, I was like, I should check it out. For some reason, I felt like the stars were aligning, I guess. I was like, I should really try and get some sort of tickets in this one.
Also, we haven't been to a live taping of wrestling in over a decade. Even though it sounds like we've been to a lot of shows.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of shows, but not to a live. Yeah,
we've been to house shows.
TNA house shows, Ring of Honor.
We saw TNA pay-per-view.
Destination X, yeah. But all those were gifts from the awesome Sanjay Dutt, gave us the opportunity to see those shows. Except for the Ring of Honor one. which was also pretty great. But again, it's a situation where to cut to the chase, I'm not going into the show unless I get freaking like front row camera side seats. Anything else, not going to happen. I don't want to go get upper concourse. I don't even want to get mid concourse. I want to have something I've never had before, and that's the opportunity to be freaking on TV during the show. And that's something that never ever happens. And so when I started, you know, like, I was like, I might as well go for these tickets. 10 o'clock rolls by. At 10 o'clock, I'm already looking at the seats. You know how they have it on Ticketmaster refresh, and you choose, you go through all that crap, and then you see the seats that you're given. And for 20 minutes, I was given upper concourse, mid concourse, off of camera side. And I know the camera side. I know it's either one of those two. You know, it's only one side, you know? And I wasn't, you know, and I kept on getting that for at least 20 minutes. And then in the 20 minute mark, around that time, I don't know, all of a sudden, a freaking like a shooting star happened, and these seats right next to the announcing booth came up. Like, it was like, and then section, you know, row E, one and two. I was like, this is
On the floor. So basically we're in the fifth row.
Yeah, we're in the fifth, like I saw those and I was like, I couldn't even think about it. I was like, I gotta get these. You know, there's no second guessing. Usually there's those other moments where like, I think I can get something better. I already had that for 20 minutes and I saw this and I was like, I'm buying them now. I gotta buy them now. This is never gonna happen ever again. Bought those tickets, bam, here we are. Best seats I've ever had in my whole entire life for a wrestling event. Holy crap, how did we prepare for this show?
We prepared by making some signage, of course.
Yeah, what do we have there?
And so, I posted some of the photos earlier today of just the signs so people could find us. And if you did find us on the show, take a screenshot and send us a picture. But we made signs that says Toast, and then on the other side has a picture of Toast. And then same thing with Curls. There's a picture of Curls' head on one side, and the other side says Curls, 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 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty effective, because, I could see it on, like, the Turbotron.
Jumbotron.
Or the Jumbotron. And so what is the difference between a Turbotron and a Jumbotron?
Well, the name of that one is a Jumbotron.
Is there such a thing as a Turbotron?
I don't even know what a Turbotron would entail.
Well, that's what I call the Jumbotron. Anyway, the Jumbotron, I was looking up and I saw like the signage a couple times. Like I saw our signs get on TV.
But going into it, what were your thoughts? You're like, because we knew we had those seats, right?
Yeah.
We knew they were pretty freaking awesome already. That in itself, like, what were your thoughts going into that? You're like, I need to have a big poster. I need to be this color.
Well, like, originally I was going to kind of go all out and, like, spend probably more than half a day making a sign that was going to be Curl's face with, like, the Cena, you can't see me, with her mitten hand, like, going over her face.
Yeah.
And then, like, to be all honest with you, like, kind of time got out of, you know, I've been pretty busy. So, basically, like, we're like, well, what can be simple and, like, an easily read? So we just did like the Curl's head and then curls on the back and then Toast, like a picture of Toast.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
like Toast of the Town, like
Toast
from Curls.
Toast of the Town from my comic strip Curls, which you can read at curls-studio.com. Well, you know, so I wanted it to be effective, and I know that those things are like really quick reads. And also the other good decision that we made was
like really thought about this.
Was to get like neon paper.
We're like marketing geniuses. That's what we were like aiming to be, like madmen. We're like, listen, this is probably gonna be less amount of time. It has to be able to be read from far away. We can't overthink it.
Yeah, like we got this like neon yellow paper, which I think works really well. It's always like really easily visible.
Because what type of signs do you usually see at wrestling? And of course, having your signs seen is a crucial thing. That's why we had signs.
See, sometimes people's signs are like really good though. Like you could tell they spent time on it, and then it's like effective because it's big and bold. Other times, like, usually some people just, like, write on, like, a crappy piece of cardboard and they don't make their lines thick enough.
Yeah. People take, like, they just draw with one, like, they're writing normally.
Yeah. And that's fine. I think a lot of people just don't know, you know? And then, but on top of that, like, I have seen, like, really good signs, too. So, it could go either way. But I wanted to make sure that ours were pretty bold.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't spend actually, like, I spent time thinking about it, but I didn't really spend that much time making them.
Because that's
what were we watching last night? When we were watching the James Cameron Titanic.
Oh yeah, well that and then iRobot at the same time.
I wasn't really watching iRobot. I was just kind of working on the signs. But like, I probably spent less than an hour on like four sides of the sign.
It's funny how like, you know, we're both you're a creative person. I'm whatever I am at the moment. And it's like we had to like. It's like out of all people to make a distinctive sign stick out, like we had to take this opportunity to make it something that like you could see from far away. We're probably like way overthinking it, but at the same time, I think we were trying to like Lex Luthor genius take an angle at like, listen, this can be seen, like it's distinctive. You know what I mean?
In all honesty, I think I could have probably made like a better sign for some reason in my head. I feel like, but I'm still proud of like what I did. But I still feel like, you know, if I had more time, I could make it, like, more perfect.
Yeah.
But I think from far away...
Yeah,
like,
but more perfect for far away doesn't, you know, because...
That's what I mean. Like, from far away, it was effective. Because, like, really, no one's going to go all up close, like, 2 inches from it.
Exactly.
But me. You know, because I'm, like, looking at it, like, 2 inches away.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I kind of... Like, this mine's squiggly or something. But, like, the camera's not going to pick up that.
Yeah.
So, like, in those terms, it was effective. But, like, you know, me being me, I would just... I'd notice like small things and I'm like, I wish I had more time, but oh well. Like it still works. You can still see it's like definitely curls and definitely toes.
Yeah, I mean you could see like because you made one that said toes, so the other side was actually the drawing of toes. Curls, 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 sort of like, you know, emulating the girls, 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 and then one side actually had curls' face, just straight up curls' face.
Straight up curls'
straight
face.
Straight up cases.
And we need to like get in touch with Motley Crue so they can record the curls, curls, curls theme song.
I thought it was
would be down with.
Like, it's always, to me, it's always a real fun experience going to a wrestling show when, like, slowly, because, you know, we took the Metro into it, and, you know, you go from seeing normal civilians, and slowly but surely, you see wrestling fans start
on the Metro.
On the Metro, and then all of a sudden you're surrounded by them. And wrestling fans are the best fans out there, like, for anything in general, for such an awesome art form. These guys are awesome and true, and also I feel that they might be the friendliest bunch in there, unless you like are against them. But you know, I feel like there's like a unity amongst.
Yeah, there's like this whole culture, and they're like, "Oh, what do your signs say?" And like, we just had our signs like rolled up, and they're like getting excited about the show and like commenting on the CM Punk T-shirt I'm wearing and stuff like that.
That's what was interesting to see, like. Also, who else was wearing stuff like that? What was the first note that you could see?
The first note?
You know, what was the first thing you noticed once you kept on getting closer to the venue and all this? Because I'm trying to think. Well, this is the first Raw that you've ever been to. Because before, the last taping, you went to the SmackDown one. And that one, we had like barely got seats to. And it's like the seats they open up before the show starts. Or before, like, when the show comes closer. What was your feeling going into this show as opposed to the other shows that we've been to? Was there a difference? Were you just excited?
I was just, like, really excited. I mean, like, you know, like, also, like, I worked, so, like, right before, you know, it would be nice if I could, like, relax instead of having to, like, run over, you know, and, like, be, like, driving from work and then...
But I feel
like eat really quick and then going to the show.
Yeah, but I feel like I feel like probably majority of the people were like
went from
school, went from work. I mean, that's why the show is scheduled at that time anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's not really an excuse, but like, I mean, I didn't feel actually super rushed because it's not like we came in late or anything.
I mean, also at the same time, it's not like we're going to a music show with General Mission where it's like, crap, we got to get at the beginning.
That's true.
Like, we already had set seats.
I mean, I was excited about our set seats. And, like, I thought we were on TV side, but, like, a small part of me, like, wasn't so sure by reading that diagram.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, are we on TV side? Because, like, I pretty much 90% thought we were.
Yeah.
But then there's always, like, that other side that I'm like, I hope we're not on the other side. But we were on TV side, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, I just really like even having the signs. But I will say, like, I don't think that, like, made me... not enjoy the show, but having a sign does add like an extra thing that you have to pay attention to, whereas like if you just came to the show and like watched it. But I still feel like having the signs makes it specialer too, because like now we have screenshots of like Vicky Guerrero next to Toast.
Yeah,
like so like stuff like that is pretty awesome. Like, you can't take that away. And then you can also be like, Toast was at WWE, and like use that as a promotion.
What were you most excited about seeing when you went to the show? There was a lot. What do you think about the crowd of actually being in that? Because I feel like you've been to a SmackDown crowd and that's taped, so it's sort of like, okay. But this one was like Raw and it's like live in DC.
Yeah.
Did you think it was hot? I thought the crowd was pretty hot.
Yeah, and also like before the show even started, there was a whole bunch of like yes chants.
Yeah.
And they probably were like a minute long each, and there's probably maybe like six of them like throughout.
It's just
like,
break, you know, out.
Every,
yeah.
Every few minutes, there'd be a new, like, yes, yes, build up. And they're all, like, first it would start from different parts of the arena. So, like, you know, a small crowd of people would just get it going. And then it started to be, like, this huge yes thing.
And, of course, one of the biggest things that also breaks out is the usual, like, Cena sucks, let's go Cena.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, to me, that was...
Because it's pretty harsh.
It's also what's amazing is it had this the same feeling I was having whenever we get, like... We get there early to like the like a rock show, and we're like front. You know what I mean? We're like front row, front three rows.
We got a guard.
Yeah, we got like a guard rail. That feeling. That's how it felt like we were at this one. We had a guard rail, and I remember when we left that guard rail position at one of the shows, and we went to the back, and then that's how you start to realize, holy crap, there's like a whole lot of people here, and then being like almost like pretty much dead center in the arena, it doesn't feel as big when you're there, like when you're in that center, because you get to look around. But it's almost this unreal. It's like being at like center field of a football game or something like that. It almost didn't feel like it was as big, but then I'd look around, I'd take notice and be like, holy crap, but there's people all the way up.
All the way, way, way up in the nosebleeds. Yeah, you just see like a speck of a person.
Yeah, and I'm like wow. I was like, imagine being up there. It's probably a lot bigger when you're up there, but when you're on the floor, everything feels like floor. You know what I mean?
It definitely felt like the same distance that we had at the Ring of Honor show.
That's like, what's incredible is that we had that Ring of Honor distance.
Yeah.
Like that we could literally yell and they would hear us. They would have to look at us and stuff like that.
Definitely. I mean, like, what was I excited about going into it? I was excited about Alberto Del Rio and CM Punk.
And how did those things pay off when you saw them?
Definitely. And also, I really enjoyed Del Rio's entrance, because he has, like, my favorite fireworks, which, the one that Christian used to have. Like, yeah. I call it, like, the waterfall. It's, like, gold fireworks that trickle down like a waterfall.
Yeah.
Which I really liked in person. Like, that was pretty cool.
And you know what's great about this show is that there's, unlike a lot of, like, rock shows, really, probably majority of the time, majority of the rock shows, there's always something that gets annoying to me. Wrestling shows, the shows, I'm never annoyed. I'm barely ever annoyed of people.
And also, no one in front of us had a sign, so that helped.
Well, they did. There's people who had signs.
A couple people, but it wasn't enough that it was, like, right in front of your face.
Yeah, we were the people. We were those people. A lot of us kept on holding up a sign.
We were those people, but we were pretty considerate, like, in my opinion. Like, I mostly tried to hold the sign up when I saw that red light of that camera go on, so I knew that they were, like, taping our side. I was smart enough to figure that out. Like, yeah. So I wasn't, like, annoying, like, having it always up all the time.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was manageable. So I don't think anyone was ever, like, was mad at us. So that, you know, it worked out. And we didn't have, like, anything huge. We just had regular poster size, which still is large enough to see.
Yeah. I mean, it's very very distinctive colors, too. So it's like we knew what colors there were. That we can easily point them out at the same time.
Like, another cool thing that happened was, like, seeing Vicky Guerrero. Because, like, it's not that I forgot about her necessarily, but, like, I don't know, she just wasn't on my mind. She hasn't been on my mind recently, you know? Like, I don't really sit around thinking about Vicky.
And she is a lot more thinner looking and more toned in person, too.
I thought she looks good. I mean, I don't know what people are expecting from her. First of all, I like her hair that was today.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, like, as spiky. Like, I guess people that know Vicky Guerrero, they probably have, like, a spiky-haired person in their mind. Like, kind of like that Kate... Is it Kate Gosling or something?
Yeah,
like
probably.
Kate plus eight. How her hair was, like, all spiky in the back.
Very contemporary haircut, I guess. Called. I don't know.
But anyway, whatever that haircut is, like, Vicky kind of used to have something like that. But now her hair was, like, more just, like, tossed, I guess, today. And, like, a little bit curly, but not too much. And, yeah, I liked it. But I thought that, you know... I don't know what people are expecting from Vicky. Like, are they expecting her to, like, look like Kelly Kelly shape or something? But, like...
And we saw Kelly Kelly. That was cool.
Yeah.
And the Bellas.
And the Bellas.
Which I like the Bellas shape better than Kelly Kelly's shape, so... And there's two of them.
Are you talking about, like, their outfit or, like, their actual body shape?
And their outfit and their body shape and their look.
It's interesting how, like, with the divas, each one of them have, like, a specific cut of their outfit that they always wear. Like, Kelly Kelly always has, like, kind of a halter... top bra-ish thing with like, you know, little like Hooters shorts, and like I never really see her wear anything else besides that cut.
Well, they all have their distinctive, it's sort of just like in cartoons.
Yeah, and like the Bellas have like a kind of like a cat suit with like a really plunging neckline.
Yeah
and then, you know, they're twins, so that's always interesting.
It always works when you have that plunging neckline, but you don't really have a lot of boobs. It doesn't seem as, I guess, to civilians as offensive.
You can get away with more like that because, like, you know, I've seen pictures of, like, the same outfit.
Yeah.
On, like, a skinny girl with small boobs versus, like, I guess, let's say a normal-sized girl with, like, bigger boobs. And, like, it always makes, like, the bigger boobs girl look like she's showing more, but, like... You could have smaller boobs, and it doesn't. You can get away with more.
I always had that conversation. I didn't always have the conversation, but I've had like, that conversation. I've had that conversation with Hannah, one of the models, or awesome, one of awesome makeup artists I use. Or she says because of one like her skinny stature, that she can wear clothes, and she just wouldn't appear skinny, or she wouldn't appear like over sexualized, or something like that. Because it's just like, well. I guess it's sort of like, well, what are you trying to show off? It's sort of like, well, I guess if you didn't really have boobs, it's not like, oh, they're so offensive in your face. And it's also like, well, you know what I mean? It's just the way, I mean, she's slim, but it's also not like over-sexualized in a way.
I don't remember the full story of this, but a few years ago, there's this high school girl and like she got in trouble for wearing so-called like sexy outfits and stuff.
But like really, booth babe outfits.
But the thing is like... Like, she got, like, in trouble for something. It was, like, prom or something. Ridiculous. And, like, yeah, she probably had, like, a V-neck or something like that. But it wasn't anything that was, like, whoa, look at my boobs. It's just that she had big boobs. And people were, like, against her.
I mean, that's what happens when girls have big boobs. People are all of a sudden against them, aren't they?
Exactly. But, like, it wasn't like she was, like, straight up, like, look at all my boobies. You know, like, whatever. You know,
she,
like,
you have no choice.
It's, like, something that she really... couldn't control unless you want her to like wear like a turtleneck.
Yeah.
And even that would be tight. So then people are like, oh, look at her tight little sweater.
So basically she can just wear, all she can wear is like sports sweat, like big,
or like sweatshirt,
puffy sweaters, and then have no fashion sense. And people, now you're acceptable. Yeah, stay in this corner and shut your mouth.
Just cover up yourself and wear a sweatsuit. And be like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, and then she's acceptable. But yeah, like all the divas have like their own cut, their own trademark cut.
I just think that's interesting. And then Beth Phoenix has, like, her own cut.
Well, it's the same thing as Cena just wearing the jeans and stuff like that. Everyone is a character, basically.
It is kind of the same, but, yeah. I don't know, I guess I never really thought about, like, the diva's style sense. But Vicky's my favorite diva. I don't know if people consider her a diva.
Yeah, she's
more
definitely
like
a diva.
Manager, though.
Yeah, but she counts in the diva sense at this point.
But Vicky's like my favorite diva. And I don't know, I didn't like forget about her like purposely, but I just like, I don't know, it wasn't on my mindset to be like, oh, I'm going to see Vicky tonight.
Yeah.
You know, like that type of thing. Because I was more excited about being like, I'm going to see Alberto Del Rio and his like ring announcer, and I'm going to see CM Punk. So I wasn't really thinking about Vicky, but it was cool because then when she came out, I was like, Vicky! Yeah! And, like, everyone was totally booing her, and she did her whole, like, excuse me bit, which was fun. Because I, like, man, she's, like, pretty loud. She's definitely good at yelling.
Yeah.
So, it was cool to see Vicky.
And then Vicky's with Toast.
And then Vicky is with Toast. We have a screenshot of it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the full show, but I know that it's a prominent... picture of Vicky Guerrero with Toast.
I mean, to me, it was always it was really entertaining because, you know, they got the Titantron, and you're always trying to look up there, and if you think you're on there, you always put your sign
up.
See,
now you're calling it the Titantron. What did you call it before?
The Jumbotron?
Yeah, so you just call it the Titantron.
Okay, I think it's technically called the Titantron because of Titan Towers and all that stuff.
What is Titan Towers?
That's where the WWE, that's their headquarters, the Titan Towers.
See, I just made that up. I don't know. Is it called Jumbotron or Titantron?
Well, Jumbotron, I guess, would be the one with, like, actual, like, real sports. And then
WWE Turbotron, just renamed it, and they're Turbotron, like, oh, it's called the Titantron.
Yeah. Well, Turbotron, I don't know what that is.
Basically, it's the big TV. everyone can relate.
I just know specifically certain image, certain stills that I, just certain points of seeing curls and toast. My favorite moment is when John Cena and Brock Lesnar are fighting, like, on the ground, and you specifically see them fighting. Right next to their fighting is this toast in the background. And that's, and they keep replaying that, and I'm forever gonna see that. And also when Brock Lesnar is being led out after, like, the big brawl, and after he bloodied up John Cena, after he walks, when they're walking away to the back, and you see a front shot of them, is you see these three heads. You see, I forget what the last head is, but you see Brock Lesnar, Daniel Bryan, Toast, and then someone else just right there. Just Toast just sneaking in. So he was all over the place. And also during, like, the Funkasaurus, Brodus Clay, when you see them dancing, you can definitely see Curls' head back there. It's amazing because these are just characters, and I think that's how we envisioned it when we're making up these posters. Not just, you know, say how awesome we are, but, like, it was almost, it comes to us like almost like as a joke in our head that this would be so awesome when we're there, and in the background you suddenly just see Curls' head just peek up. That was like the dream. It's like all of a sudden, yeah, and then you see a giant Curls' head.
I still want to see that part, like, after Del Rio won. Apparently you said you saw me on the Titantron.
Yeah, because you're like
jumping, and
because
then
we're right next
sign.
We're right next to a big aisleway, guys, like, basically in between us there's probably 4 feet or 5 feet into, like, the next row's chairs, and I was watching the match, and at this point, like, I just sort of forgot about putting up a poster. I was just like, I'm gonna relax and watch the match, and Carolyn's, like, really into it, and then all of a sudden Del Rio wins, and I see Carolyn, like, jump up and go, like, woo, like that, and, like, show the poster and run forward. And I see her, like, in the background of the Titantron jumping, like, show, like, her poster and stuff like that. I was like, wow. Like, you can see, like, how, like, from sitting there and watching the Titantron, I could see how, like, I didn't even see you I didn't really see you to the left of me. I saw you up on the screen, how excited you were that he won. And you're really excited to see Ron Killings too. The truth.
Yeah, I was really excited about the truth, but they changed his music. It's like an instrumental.
He doesn't rap anymore.
He doesn't have the rap anymore. And then they changed, like, the song used to be called "What's Up," and then the other night when I was watching WWE, they have, like, a little graphic underneath that says you can buy the tune on iTunes.
Yeah,
and it said, like, buy this song, Little Jimmy. And I'm like, what? It's just like the "What's Up" song, but without lyrics.
Just the instrumental, and you just rename it a completely different name.
And it's called Little Jimmy. It makes, like, I don't know. It's funny, but then, like, it's funny from, like, if you look at that from a humor perspective, but from, like, another perspective, it's like, I don't know why. What? It's like, what? Why do you change the name of the song?
So, what'd you think about Cena's reaction, or the crowd reaction to Cena? Actually, we get to soak that in live and in person, because to me that was one of those, immediately, even when I hear little kids ultimately start chanting "Go, let's go Cena," and these are just like, it starts off really faint, you know, like in the background, "Let's go Cena," then "Cena," and then all of a sudden, two, like, 10 seconds later, just erupts into a giant, like, full-on crowd going, "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks," like, to the point where I can turn my head like I'm watching, like, a tennis match and hearing it, like, in full blast, just being caught in the center of, like, just a tornado of, like, opinions, man.
So what percentage do you think, like, was pro-Cena or anti-Cena?
I mean,
like, was it really, like, a 50-50 thing?
It was probably, like, a 60-40, but for, like, one whole minute, it felt like 50-50. But whenever Cena came out, it was, like, 85% booing.
Yeah, that's true.
Cena will never, ever be over, like, or never be, like, a fan favorite, like, how he used to. There has to be something, like, he has to kill, like, Bin Laden again or something. He has to cure world peace for him to be the most popular person ever again. But my theory is he's still getting both sides of the pie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the guy next to us, it was funny because he kept saying, like, I mean, he seemed like a wrestling fan in general, but the one thing he, like, emphasized was, like, hating Cena.
Yeah.
I mean, but he was, like, he wasn't, like, horrible about it. You could tell that he hates Cena, but then you noticed something really particular about him.
It was amazing, like, because during, like, the main event, you know, it's him versus David Otunga.
And it's, Cena versus...
Or Cena versus David Otunga. That being the main event is already shocking enough. that's a main event. It doesn't even feel like a main event. But, it was cool because, like, when Cena does the You Can't See Me five-knuckle shuffle, you know, and then he, like, sticks his hand up in the air. And I was standing up, and the guy next, the black dude next to me was also standing up. And, you know, he's totally, like, anti-Cena. But then when Cena did the, puts his hand, waves his hand in his face before the five-knuckle shuffle and does the You Can't See Me, the black dude next to me was totally doing the You Can't See Me! And then he slowly, silently chants out, You suck, Cena! But I was like, he just did his You Can't See Me thing, dude.
I mean, that just to me shows how, like, people can like Cena and hate him at the same time. It's almost like they love to hate him.
He totally did. He totally had the hand in front of his face and everything. He was like, You can't see me, dude. Then he's like, Cena sucks. I was like, how are you going to do
Maybe
that?
Maybe he got caught up in the moment of the live event and just start, you know, getting into it.
But see, that's so amazing about it, man.
Well, even like with me, like I was definitely like, it was Alberto Del Rio versus Zack Ryder, and I have like nothing against Zack Ryder, like I don't hate him or anything, but I was definitely for like Del Rio to win because Del Rio is like probably my favorite in wrestling right now, him and CM Punk. So you know, I was rooting for Del Rio. Then, like, Zack Ryder starts doing like woo woo woo, and then like I'm doing that too.
You're like woo woo.
I'm like wooing, and then at the same time being like Del Rio.
Yeah.
So I was like for everyone pretty much. The only thing that I like remotely booed on was like I was giving a thumbs down to John Laurinaitis or laryngitis or whatever. How come he talks like that? He does talk like he has laryngitis.
That's his voice. He's on me right now.
This is my voice. I that's not a good impression. Is it?
I don't know.
I'm John Laryngitis.
Yeah, that's close. Hey. That's close enough.
Hey, Otunga, get me some coffee. Give me some Starbucks.
That's exactly how it is.
How come he talks like that?
Man,
I don't understand. There's some people that talk like that, and I'm like, to me that would take effort. Like it would talk like this would take effort, man. It's a little bit of hard.
Sometimes that's how people's voices are. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like he's always had that voice. I don't even know where he's really from. Maybe it could be a genetic thing. Sometimes when you pretend to talk like something like that, like, or one person around you speaks like that, maybe everyone else starts speaking like that, you know?
So everyone talks like they have laryngitis.
Maybe that's how everyone ends up talking like that. It was so fast. People filed out of that real fast, though.
Yeah, they're just like trying to get the hell home. Because like how many people does, because it was pretty close to selling out, or did it sell out? It was like pretty,
it was pretty full. It looked pretty, I mean, except for like the camera stuff that they, you know, the rows they had to clear out for the camera. It seemed pretty jam-packed
to
me.
So do you think it was sold out?
I don't even know what counts as a sellout. I knew.
No, like how many people like can sit in the Verizon Center?
Maybe like 21,000 or something like that.
Because think about all those people that have to get home.
Yeah.
The parking lot across the street is like $25.
I remember it was almost like not a horror scene, but it was just like a mass of people like out in the metro when we got down there. But as soon as you got down there, like you started like hustling, like you're like, we gotta make it through. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to shove your way through that?
It's because I'm used to that type of commute. Like in my eyes, I know like you don't go on the metro as much as I have. But in my eyes, it's like a mental thing. It's like the equivalent of like getting out of work at 5:30 and being like, I gotta go home now, and you just like rush home.
Yeah.
I mean, no one was like acting as rushy as me, but
you're the only one that was like, you had to go. Like you're like, I gotta make it back. I was like, where are you going? We
because,
don't have to
like,
rush
I have
through
this urgency of like, I had to, like going pull, home.
I had to like
when I get out of work, I just want to go home. I don't want to like you know, mosey on down and be like, I have all the time in the world.
I had to, like, pull you back. I was like, why are you trying to rush through this massive crowd? Makes absolutely no sense. Because it's like, well, the show is over. Like, it's not like we're trying to go to another show.
Yeah, you have 21,000 people trying to go back home.
Yeah, but that was just like, you're really like... Like, trying to, like, work your way through, like...
At least I know the tunnels well.
You do know the tunnels well. But I was just amused by that part. I was like, man, she's, like, on a mission.
I'm telling you, I'm really good at riding the metro. Like, I'm an expert.
Is it that difficult?
It's not difficult if you know what you're doing. But there's, like, certain rules that people don't abide by.
What are the rules that people need to abide by?
It's like an unsaid rules. There's
tell me these metro rules.
Of the metro.
Tell me these metro rules.
Well, first of all, like, I mean, some of it is obvious, but people don't do it. Like, okay, if you have all the time in the world, stand to the right-hand side of the elevator, and you, like, you don't have to walk it up. You can just let the elevator ride you up, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, stand on the right-hand side and then leave the left-hand side for people that just want to walk.
Yeah.
Like, did you know about that rule, though?
Yes, I did.
Like, it's a pretty obvious rule. Like, it's, like, the same thing anywhere as, like, at a mall or anywhere.
I absolutely knew that
one,
yeah.
But some people do not know that, and then they just hog it up and stand wherever they want.
And this is only on the metro, though, right?
No, it's, like, everywhere, though, but, like, people don't... Tourists, especially, like, they just stand there. And,
they enjoy their time, enjoying the view.
Like, today... You know, people were just, like, on their elevator, and they weren't, like, making room for that walkway. You know?
So you were like, I need to bust through this.
I don't know, part of me was, like, a little bit, like, not super annoyed, but I was just like, man, make a path. But, like...
because you weren't in a hurry.
Yes. I get, like, antsy like that in the metro. Because I don't, like, it's not like I have all the time in the world. Like I said, how I can, like, oh, I can just take 2 hours to get home. I'm gonna mosey on down here. I can just ride my mule. Like take my time. Like, I don't... as if I'm talking, like, now with the swamp people voice again. But, like... I mean, I don't have... Like, it's a mental... Like, it's probably a mental problem. Like, I have that I just want to go home. Does that make sense, though?
Sure.
Like, when you... After you work for 8 hours... And you already spent, like, 2 hours commuting.
But I understand.
That's 10 hours.
I understand that.
And then you want to, like, go home.
I mean, I definitely understand that hustle and bustle of getting home, trying to leave, like, a show and just getting home as soon as you can. Because at that point, after, like, the after show, like, expenses that happened with John Cena and Dolph Ziggler. I mean, as soon as Brock already, like, you know, as soon as the show ended, people were already filing on their way out. You know what I mean?
I wasn't paying attention. I was just
like the people in front of us and people behind us, they're already gone. They're already out.
Isn't that kind of like church?
Yeah, but in my mind, I'm paying like over $90. I'm like, I'm going to be the last person to leave, man.
Yeah. At the end, we got the signature of the announcer.
Oh, yeah, Justin Roberts.
Justin Roberts.
We were on everyone's ass.
What?
No, we were just chanting. What we were yelling was amazing. That's what I always love about going to a wrestling show. This, like, how creative, but also how bold you can say, like, you can just say. And also, just like, it's amazing whenever I go to a wrestling show, in my mind, at that point, I treat everything like super real. Like, I treat the ref like he's a real ref. You know what I mean? I treat things like this is like a real sport. Because I think you should. You're there. You're part of the show. You might as well make it real.
For reals. Joe, what part of the show did you enjoy?
I enjoyed being there.
I mean, like, were there any moments, though, that you, like, remember?
Well, see, that's the thing with, like, when you go to a wrestling show, when you see it live, at least for me, you miss a lot. Specifically, if it's, like, made, if it's for television. That's why it's crucial that you tape it so you know what happened in the show. Because there's, like, a lot of times you'll just miss... Like, I'd really like to, I mean, I haven't watched the show yet, but I'd really like to hear what CM Punk had to say, because it seemed like, from my angle, that he was putting on, you know, he was delivering a pretty awesome promo, but at that point, I was, like, consumed with, like, trying to take a photo and trying to get my sign in there, you know what I mean? So there's those elements that, you know, it's like...
That's what I was saying earlier. Do you think that having a sign, like, takes away a little bit, though, from, like, your concentration of just enjoying the show?
Well, see, there's always a difference between watching, like, say, like, a show that's, like, a television show and then watching, like, in a house show. Like, in a house show, You can sit there and you can watch the wrestling.
You that's don't even need a sign.
You don't need a sign because you're there to watch them perform, and they're performing for you directly. But when you go to the television taping show, keep your eyes open. When you're going to a television taping show, you sort of have to... they're performing for the people at home, you know?
Yeah.
They're performing for us, yeah, but also like their matches are shorter and they're more storyline based. Heavily more storyline based. Like a lot of the matches we saw, you know, were short, you know? And some of them I even felt like they had no point in even having. I don't even know half the stories that are going on, but like it's just fun going to a live event. And not a lot of people go to live events anymore because you have. You have YouTube, you have the internet. That's like, what the hell?
I can watch it for free on the internet. Yeah, why you got YouTube.
But it's like, it's important.
I don't know why I keep doing the swamp people voice.
But you have like a, personally, I feel like you have so many people out there that just witness things through a screen, through a filtered, safe screen that like, if something really was, you know, that they don't know how it is to like feel it and smell it actually happen directly in front of you. And I think that's really important to build, you know, a realistic view on what's happening.
Do you think it's crazy? I think that David Otunga is getting like a big push now.
He's getting a massive push. It doesn't get really at this point. He's right next to John Laurinaitis like the whole entire time.
And then he has a match against Cena.
Yeah, he main evented Raw.
And then also on top of that, I just gotta say, I know that like he's muscular and all that, but seeing him in person.
That's the first thing you said. As soon as he walked out, he's like, dude, he's all glossed up.
He was totally glossed up. Like someone shiny.
He just like walked
like
through.
He was sparkling.
Like,
and then his muscles are crazy. Like, I mean, I don't know.
That's his whole gimmick.
And then, meanwhile, like, there's a commercial break, and then he was just in the middle of the ring, like, posing.
That's all he did. He just posed. He literally just went from side to side and just posed.
He did, like, 7 different poses all around the ring.
That's literally all he did was bodybuilder poses. Like, all around. Like, until commercial break.
He did look pretty good.
But I love that that's what the gimmick basically is now. Like, when he's wrestling... I mean, it's a difference between the lawyer gimmick outside, but when he's wrestling, he's like just totally like, I want to pose for you. Sculpted.
He should just be like in a calendar.
I don't want to see a David Otunga calendar, but that should basically be what it is.
I mean, isn't it though? He's all like glossed up and he's like showing his flexies.
I mean, it looks like he's made of plastic.
Yeah, he does, actually. When he came, like... Even from all across the way when he came down the ramp, I was just like, what? Remember, he's like glistening. It looked like he just walked out of a pool.
Yeah. I remember that one time he was talking to the ref and he was just posing for the ref.
Yeah, he was like, literally posing for the ref. And it was during commercial break. But I thought that was cool to see.
Those parts.
Yes, David Otunga. Like, I mean, as far as like, seeing people's bodies in person, I think it's interesting because, like, I always, like, equate them. Because, like, Booker T wasn't at the show, but, like, I've seen Booker T before. And, like, I always say that in person, like, his legs are really long. Like, he has, like, frog legs or something. Like, they're super long. And, like, I've seen Scott Steiner before in person in past events. And he's, like, you know, obviously big Papa Pump. Like, he's built. Like you can, and it's interesting to see like the shapes from far away. Because even like as an artist, like there's been studies too that you can see people like across the hallway and like not actually see their face, but you know based on the body and like basically you know the pixels in your brain equate that to be like, oh, that's David Otunga walking this way, even though you don't even see his head. But it's interesting like to see people's bodies like that in real life. Like for example, like Santino, I thought for some reason like his I mean, I guess just based on watching him on TV, I thought that his, like, thighs were a little thick.
Uh-huh.
But in person, I didn't get that at all.
He looks normal?
Yeah, like, in person, he looked normal. But do you get that, too? Because, like, whenever I watch him on TV, like, I always feel like his thighs are thick. And then, like, today,
you know,
I don't really think he looked normal.
I don't really think, Santino's thighs.
I mean, I don't...
Being thick.
I mean, not, like... I don't know. Like, to me, I thought that they were always, like, heavier. And today, like, he looked pretty normal-ish.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he was right next to Brodus Clay, so it's hard to see who's bigger in that account.
That's true. Definitely Brodus Brodus Clay is a pretty big guy.
I mean, I say Santino Morella's thighs were pretty equivalent to like the Funkasaurus dancers. That looked pretty similar there.
Yeah, perhaps.
Perhaps.
But I do like looking at like the body shapes. You know?
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of interesting cuz like I don't know.
Who has the better body shape, the Bellas or Kelly Kelly? Those are the only divas we saw too, right?
Yeah, or besides Vicky too.
Oh, wait, Eve was there too, but she didn't come out into the arena.
Eve was only behind the scenes. But I mean, I don't know. I think that both Kelly Kelly and the Bellas look great, and like I feel like it's more of like a matter of personal preference.
Well, that's what I was asking you.
My personal preference?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I can't really pick.
Yes, you can. What? I can't pick.
No, I can't.
Everyone can pick.
I think
if you can't look good. If you can't pick, that means that you yourself can't decide on anything. Can't pick.
Yeah, but like, I mean, who's to say whose is better?
It's not about better. It's personal preference. Me personally, I like the...
I mean, the Bellas come as like two people, though.
Well, me personally, I enjoy the shape of the Bellas because it seems like there's more to it, you know? I also like the cut. I also like their attitude, like, more is fun because it always seems like Kelly Kelly is just like that obvious fan favorite face.
I mean, she's like the obvious, like, all-American girl with the blonde hair, like Carrie Underwood. I think we've talked about that before.
Carrie Underwood?
Yeah. Like, she just kind of looks
just like... Just like Sarah Underwood.
Who's Sarah Underwood? I've heard of the name.
Yeah, Sarah Underwood.
Who is that? A singer?
She's on G4.
Oh. Is she related to Carrie Underwood?
No. No one's related to Carrie Underwood.
Oh. Where's her family?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to Carrie Underwood.
But you know, like, that all-American girl type style?
Like Tori Wilson or Michelle McCool?
Yeah. But Kelly Kelly seems a little bit more innocent versus, like, Michelle McCool.
You're right.
Yeah. I'm just getting a little tired.
Yeah, you're sleeping.
What time is it?
You can go to bed now. I'll take over from the rest of the...
No, we got a couple more minutes.
I'll take it from here. I'll drive it home.
But did you notice, like, you know, the bodies, seeing them in person and stuff like that?
No, I didn't notice anyone's bodies. I didn't even see bodies in the ring.
I saw bodies hit the floor. Bodies everywhere. But everyone was, like, all muscular and stuff. It was cool to see in person. Like, especially that close up. We saw Brock.
That's right, we did see Brock.
We've seen Brock before, but it was cool to see him again. Because he's like a major player. Even people that don't watch wrestling know who he is.
Yeah, but right now, Brock is even bigger major player. That's the former UFC champion. That guy was one of the hottest commodities like for several years.
What was the year we saw him? Was like 2003?
We saw him in the we saw him in Richmond, then we saw him even before, like on the SmackDown. We saw him at several stages of his wrestling career. We saw him probably in the last year of his wrestling career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we see his return, so those are always pretty fun to see. You look like you're dying.
I really look like that?
Yeah.
I'm like super trying. You're
the
to stay
the show is almost done. The show is almost done.
I mean, I'll take like it on. Three in the
I'll
morning,
take it. I'll
so.
Take it from here. I will take it from here.
You will take it from here. I mean, like, what was your favorite match, or what was the most intriguing moment for you? Like,
yeah, what was your favorite match, or your most intriguing moment?
Cena getting beat up by Brock, and Cena's lips was all bloody, and his teeth was all bloody.
It was really intriguing. I mean, I really enjoyed that aspect of it too.
And then you had like
you're sleeping.
There's like 40 guys in the ring.
You fell asleep.
I didn't fall asleep. I just had my eyes closed. I'm still talking. I'm still here.
You're gone.
No.
You're gone.
You think if I was just to like stop talking, I would fall asleep here?
Pretty much. And that's how much we care about. We care about giving you some sort of entertainment every freaking week here on the Carolyn and Joe Show. Carolyn is moments away from falling asleep. But she's like, I must continue to the end of this show. Because that's what we do. This is our show, and this is our gift to you guys. she just collapses and sleeps. Z's. But there you go. Another edition of the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Please tune in to curls-studio.com. This show is, of course, produced by StrayProductions.com. Catch Carolyn at Carolyn Bilevsky on Twitter. Catch me at AstrayJ on Twitter. Thank you. Catch you later, Carolyn. Everyone, go home and get some sleep. Or take a nap. See ya.